Today's daf is daf Yud Ches. So we got to two lines down. The Gemara says, the Gemara had been discussing a Mishnah. We're going to focus on the Mishnah from yesterday's daf. Was it yesterday or was it 2 days ago? The Mishnah was describing, you have two animals and you have different, you weren't sure which one was the Bechor or not. I'm trying to just locate that Mishnah quickly. Here we go, on the bottom of yesterday's daf in Yud Zayin. So if you had a Rachel that had given, had Shelo Bichra, that had not given birth to any animals just yet, and gave birth to Shnei Zecharim, two males, so the question was, do we assume both are, there's two Bechors, the twins, and they assume they came out exactly the same time? That's Rabbi Yosef Lili Shita, and Chacham said it's impossible that they came out the same time, so one's the Kohen's and one's the Baal HaBayis, but we don't know whose is whose, so there's a Machlokas. So Rabbi Tarfon says the Kohen gets to choose the better one, and Rabbi Kiva says Mishamnin. The Gemara is going to describe what Mishamnin means exactly, but Mishamnin for one animal, and the second animal is a year out, Shiestaiv, you have to let it graze until it gets a mum, and we also say it's a chayv in matanos, and Rabbi Yossi thinks it's pater in matanos, and then the Gemara Mishnah talks about a case if one of the animals die, so what do you do with the animal that's still alive? Rabbi Tarfon says you split the animal, you divide it, and Rabbi Kiva says amotzi mechaveir alav harai. So that was just a quick run through of that Mishnah. So on that Mishnah, the Gemara now says name a ketanai. Let's say this is really a machlokas tonight, what we were discussing yesterday. This idea of whether or not it's possible that efshir letzam. It's possible, I'd say, Adam. Could person really divide something in time and physically exactly the same division, or it's impossible? So Gemara says, name a ketanai. Let's say it's a machloket that's found legabe the halachas of egla rufa. Gemara says, nimtza. Let's say you find the dead person mechuvan bein shnei ayaros, mamish between two cities, exactly between two cities. Lo hayu orphan, you would not perform egla rufa. That's the first. That's the Tanakama, because neither one. You don't have a ear krover. There's no one city that's closer than the other. They're equidistant. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Shtei and Mivil Shtei Agalos. No, both cities are considered Karov, and therefore you bring two Egla Rufas. So my lav, Bahakim Mifli, is a machlok, is not as follows. The Tanakama, Savar, Ef Shalat Samson. It's impossible that they're exactly the same, and one has to be slightly closer than the other one. And since we don't know which one is which, so we say no one brings any Egla Rufa. Rabbi Eliezer Savar Ef Shalat Samson. He says it is possible that it could be exactly the same distance, in which case you have two ear krovas and you bring two Egla Rufa. So that's the machlokas. Is it possible Efshir Letzamtzim, or is it not possible Efshir Letzamtzim? So Gemara says, V'tizbara, wait a second, does this really make sense how we just explained that machlokas? If it's really true that the Tanakama holds that's impossible to exactly divide, that two things will be exactly the same, amai lo hayu orphan, why don't you do arifa, yaviu egla achas bishutvis v'yasnu? Why don't you just, okay, one is closer than the other. So now we don't know which one is which. So why not bring together one Egla Rufa and make a Tanai? If City A is closer, so is Egla Rufa being brought out on behalf of City A. And if City B is closer, so this Egla Rufa is being brought on behalf of City B. And this way you could avoid the entire issue. Why does the Tanakama hold? You don't bring any Egla Rufa at all. So that can't be the Machlokas. It's not about Efshir Letzamtzim or not. Ella, Lahani Tanai. When it comes to this machlokas in the Tanaim, the Chuliyama Efshir Letzamtzim, everyone agrees it is possible to have two cities exactly the same distance away. So what's the machlokas then? V'hacha b'krova v'lo krovas kemiflagi. They're arguing about when the pasuk says a krova, krova implies one. So maybe you can only bring one city at a time, you can't bring two. Really, they're both equally they're equidistant from the dead body. But it says only Krova, only one Egla Rufa, only one city, not two. So Tetanakama Sava Krova, Velo Krovos, one and not two. And since you have two cities here who are equidistant, then you can't bring an Egla Rufa, and you're stuck. But according to Rabbi Eliezer Sava, Krovo implies Afilu Krovos. Even if there are multiple cities that are equidistant from each other, you would still go ahead and bring Shnei Egla Rufas. And if there are three cities, you bring three Egla Rufas, and so on and so forth. That's Machlokas about a specific Machlokas within Egla Rufa. Nothing to do with the general debate we're discussing about Efshir Letzamtzim or Efshir Letzamtzim. So my Havale, what's the bottom line, the discussion we've been having? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chiya bar Avin, Amar Rav Amar Tana, Nimsa mechuvan beishnei ayaros, you find a dead body, mamish exactly between two cities. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Shtein Mevil Shtei Agalos. The two cities bring, each of them bring their own Egla Rufa. The Chachamim Omer Yaviu Egla Achas Beshutvis. No, he thought the Chacham felt you bring one Egla Rufa, but you bring it in with a partnership, V'yasun, you make the Tanai, like we mentioned before. So Gemara wants to know, what's this Tanai exactly? My Kasavi Rabbanim, what's the position of the Rabbanim? E Kasavi Rabbanim, if they hold the F Shalat Samsim, it's possible that equidistance is a real possibility. So Krova, Vafil Krovos, Laisi Tarti. So then they would, if they hold, Krova implies even Shnei Krovos, even two cities that are close, so they should bring two Egla Rufas. Why make a Tanai on just one? V krova velo krovos, if they hold one city and not two cities, so afilu chada lo laiti, they shouldn't even have to bring one, they should be completely pater in this case. So the Gemara says, ela lav shma mina, it must be kasavi rabbanan efshar letzamtein vafilu bide adam shma mina. They must hold, therefore, that it's impossible that to have them exactly apart. And only one city is close, the other one's not close, and therefore you can bring one Egla Rufa and make the Tanai. That's what the Gemara concludes, Shema Amina. Gemara now says, back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, HaKohen Borer Lo Ya'asiyafe. If the animal had, you had a Rachel Shelo Bichra, a Rachel that had never given birth in its life, and then gave birth to Shnei Zacharim, gave birth to twin boys, so then the question was, which one goes to the Kohen, which one does the Baal Bais keep? So Rabbi Tarfon felt that Borer Lo Ya'asiyafe is Borer Lo Ya'asiyafe. The Kohen chooses the better item, the better sheep. Why? My time, the Rabbi Tarfon, Kesavar Hahu Debari Nafik Bereisha. The stronger one is going to push its way out first. It's going to be heavier, stronger, whatever the case is. The greater one is going to come out first, and that's why it felt that Bor lo asa yafa. Rabbi Kiva Omer Mishamnan, he felt Mishamnan. So what does Mishamnan mean? Mishamnan b'neihem.
So the more powerful one pushed itself out first, and therefore what? The coin,
it's a Bechor. No, it's the Bechor. That's the Bechor. And then the bigger one is the coins.
Because Bor lo asa yafa means that...
No, the coin's not going to choose the weaker animal. It's going to choose the bigger animal.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's up to him. Everybody's
enough. Yeah, but he's not going to choose a weaker animal. He's going to choose a bigger animal. So that bigger animal, why did he choose a bigger animal? Because the bigger animal is the one that came out first. So then the Gemara said, Rabbi Kiva Omer Mishamnin, you divide between them. Unclear what Mishamnin means here. So Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, HaKoe Notel B'Khusha. What it means is he takes the weaker animal. Rabbi Kiva argues, while Rabbi Tarfon felt that the Kohen takes the Borer Lo Asa Yafe, Rabbi Kiva says he takes the weaker animal. But unclear how that exactly fits into the words Mishamnin. So Amar Le Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Le Rabbi Yochanan V'ha'anan Mishamnin B'nei'en Tanan. Doesn't it say Mishamnin, which sounds like the Shamein is the fatter, the heavier animal. It's not the weaker animal. So Amar Le Ad De'achles Kafnasa De Bavavel, Rabbi Yochanan, who is an Eretz Yisrael, said to Rabbi Chia, who was questioning him, Rabbi Chia was from Bavel, he said, because you're eating all these dates in Bavel, Targima Mesefa, so I'm going to explain to you from the Sefa how to read this Mishnah. I mean, you didn't understand it exactly. It sounds like you were busy enjoying life in Bavel and weren't learning properly. So Targima Mesefa, learn from the Sefa what Pshad Mishanan means. What's the Sefa? The Katani, the Sefer, taught us in the Mishnah yesterday's daf and Daf Yud Zayin. Meis Echamiham. If let's say one of the two animals die, so Rabbi Tarfon Omer Yachloku, the live animal has to be divided between the Kohen and the Baal Bayis. Rabbi Kiva Omer Hamotzi Mechaveir Olav Haraya. No, the Baal Bayis gets to keep the live animal unless the Kohen can prove otherwise that the Kohen actually owns the live animal. Now, if you think, Rabbi Chia, the Mishamnin means you divide the surplus, right? Let's say animal A is worth $100, animal B is $120, so the Mishamnin, which it seems to imply the $20 difference, you should split that difference and split $10 here, $10 here. That's what it sounds like. So if you really think Mishamnin means to divide the surplus of the other animal, so then, Hachanami Lifle Gavi Hadade. In the Seifa, when the animal A dies and animal B is alive, so why does Rabbi Kiva say it's all the Baal Bayis and Motzi Mechaveir Alav Haraya? Shouldn't Rabbi Kiva also say you should divide the animal as well? So it must be Elamai Mishamnin. What does it mean? Shem Shuman Yehei Benem. There's a Shuman. There's going to be fat in between them, which means it's going to remain a Suffolk. We don't know. The surplus is in a state of Smut of a Suffolk. And Damar Le Kohen, and we say to the Kohen, since it's a Suffolk, I see Raya de Bechorhu Mishako. You proved to me that the fatter animal was the Bechor, and you could take it. But if you don't prove that to me, the Baal Bayis gets to keep it. So Rabbi Kiva goes completely against Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says the Kohen chooses the better animal, and Rabbi Kiva says the Baal Bayis keeps the better animal unless the Kohen proves otherwise. So then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah further, Hasheni. So in the case of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Kiva said Mishamnin, which meant that the Baal Bayis keeps the fatter animal, And then the second one stays in the Yad Yisrael year ad shiyastayv, and he wait till it gets a mum v'chayva b'matanos Rabbi Yossi poter. So in this second case here, the second animal gets to graze until it gets a mum. Do you have to pay matanos or not? Does the Yisrael who's holding on to the animal, does he pay matanos to the kohen or does he not pay matanos? So what's the machlok is whether he's chayv b'matanos or not in the second animal that he's still holding on to. So my time at the Rebbe Meir, what's Rebbe Meir's understanding here? So I'm a Rebbe Yochanan, hol v'chorin ba'alava, mishneit stadin, since the kohen, from both angles, the kohen has a taina on the animal. Why? Damerlei, I b'chor, who is this animal that you're holding on to is a b'chor, wakul didi, it's really mine. Included in that is, of course, the zroa, l'chaim v'keva. V'lau b'chor, who, if this animal is not a b'chor, rather it's just the second animal that was born, so then havli matanos minei, then you at least owe me zroa l'chaim v'keva, so no matter how you slice it, whether it's a b'chor or not a b'chor, I at least own the zroa l'chaim v'keva, and for that reason, says Rabbi Meir, you're chayv to pay the matanos. What's Rabbi Yossi's reasoning why he thinks it's pater? Rabbi Yossi, my time, Amar Rava, Rava said, explain Shitas Rabbi Yossi as follows. Asu she'eino zocha kezocha. Hacham made a special din that they made he who was not zocha, the Kohen, who's not really zocha in the second animal, they considered it as if he was already zocha, and then he returned it back to the Yisrael. We'll read this inside in just a second. But we know the halacha of Zor L'chaim V'keva that you have to give to the Kohanim. It's not, there's no Kedusha to it. It's a Matana, but there's no Kedusha. So if I give my Zor L'chaim V'keva to Ezra as a Kohen, he could give it back to me if he wanted to. So this case here as well, we're viewing this as if the animal was given to the Kohen, even though it wasn't, but we view it as if it was, and then he sold it back to me, and that's why I'm allowed to keep this. So the Gemara explains this all out. Asu, Eino Zocha, Kizocha. We make the Kohen who's not really Zocher as if he was Zocher. V'yafa gav d'lo matil yadei, even though it never arrived to the hands of the Kohen, kimane d'matil yadei, we view it as if it did reach the hands of the Kohen, v'zabne li'sal b'mum, then he in turn sold it back to me, the Yisrael, b'mum, and therefore I'm allowed to keep it without having to pay any matanos. That's the chiddush of the Gemara, of Rabbi Yossi Shita. Okay. Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hakol Modim B'Safek B'Chor She'en Chalipin B'Yad HaKohen. Everybody agrees that Chayiv Matanos. A case where there's a Safek B'Chor, that we don't know if the animal is a B'Chor or not, and if the Kohen has no Yad in it at all, so then there's no Chi Matanos. So let me explain. The case in the Mishnah that we were talking about was the animal gave birth to two twins. So twin boys. One went to the Kohen, the other one remained. So our question at hand was the animal that remained in the possession of the Yisrael. We say, you already got the one animal. So now to also take my matanos also, just to be happy with what you have. You had something. You had some chalipin. You received an animal. But in a situation, let's say, where there's only one animal. There were not two, just one. The animal, we weren't sure, let's say, if the mother was a bichra or lo bichra. So the animal that was born, was it a firstborn or not a firstborn, we don't know. But there's only one animal, so the Baal Bayis gets to keep it entirely. And there's no chalipin, and there's nothing being given to the Kohen. So in that case of a Safek Bechor, where the Kohen gets nothing, then everybody agrees the Kohen does get Matanos. Because there is no switching, the Kohen received nothing, he can make his Taina, Mishneit Sadin. If it's a Bechor, I get everything. And if it's not a Bechor, I at least get the Zerol L'chaim V'keva, I at least get the Matanos. So that's what Rabbi Elazar says, HaKol Molden, everybody agrees, by a Safek Bechor, She'ein Chalipim B'yad Kohen, where the Kohen gets nothing, there's no second animal to speak of here, then She'chaiv Matanos, the Yisrael does have to give Matanos to the Kohen. So the Gemara says, HaKol Molden Man, who's the one who agrees, who normally says Pater, but this case agrees chayv in matanos? That's none other than Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is the one who said in our mission when there are two twins and one goes to the Kohen, the other one's completely exempt from matanos. But in this case, he agrees. Gemara says pshita. Of course he agrees. What's the chiddush? I don't need Rabbi Elazar to tell me he agrees. I know he agrees. It's so obvious. Because ad kan lo kapata Rabbi Yossi alsam el dechalipim biad Kohen. Only in the case where you gave one of the animals already to the Kohen, that's where he says you're exempt from giving the matanos of the other animal. Because the special takana chachamim did, the asu sheino zocha kizocha. Aval ein chalipin biyad Kohen. Where there's only one animal in the suffix here, where the Kohen's receiving nothing at all, there's no chalipin at all for the Kohen, lo, there, Rabbi Yossi wouldn't say pater, he should say you're chayvim matanos. So what's the chiddush of Rabbi Elazar?
Why don't you say the same thing, but one that he gets it? Gets
doesn't get anything because there's no animal that's being given to him. There's only one animal.
Well, you're never giving him really. You're just saying that he's getting.
No, the other case, there are two animals. One animal was actually given to him. He received something. The other animal is the suffix. So I mean, he already got enough to start claiming the other animal, the matanos as well. It's enough already. So the Gemara says, what's the Hava mean? Mahu deshema, what's the Hava mean? Taima de Rebbe Yossi. What's the reason for Rebbe Yossi in general? You would have thought the Kasavar, why did he think to say Patir by Matanos by that first case? Because he was concerned, di mechayeves le b'matanos. In the case of two animals, two twins being born, so you gave one animal to the Kohen, and the other animal you kept for yourself. Now, if you're mechayev the second animal to give matanos as well, now the concern is, oh, this must be a regular chulin animal, because since you're giving matanos, it's not a bachor. And also, le li de giza vavoda, that might lead the babayis to start using the animal, the second animal in his hand, for giza and avoda, but he's not allowed to because it's still a suffix bachor, and you have to treat it with the kedusha as a bachor because of a suffix. So if you start being mechai matanos, he might say, oh, this animal is a chulin animal, I'll start doing giza, I'll start using for avoda, and therefore he said pater, and you would think all cases of suffix bachor, you should always say pater in matanos. The afagav, so therefore in this second case here of only one animal, when there's only one suffix, you would have thought, afagav de'ein chalipin b'yad kohen, even though the kohen's not receiving anything in the case of just one suffix, I would think he should say pater across the board to prevent anyone from using this suffix bechor for giza v'avoda. K'mashmalan, Rabbi Yehuda teaches us, no. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda thinks you're pater from matanos is not because of chashash, a giza v'avoda, it's all about because yesh chalipin b'kohen. So when the kohen gets something, so then the remaining animal is pater. When the kohen gets nothing, so then there is a chi matanos on the suffix bechor. Gemara now says further, umi matas amir hachi. Could you really have such a havamina that Rabbi Yossi thought the whole reason why he said pater in matanos was because of chashash of giziv avoda? Was that really the impetus of Rabbi Yossi? V'hatani seifa, doesn't the seifa clearly say, shehoya Rabbi Yossi omer, Rabbi Yossi says, kol shechalifa v'yad ha-kohen pater min matanos. And Rabbi Yehuda omer v'chayev. So clearly we see from this statement that's all talking on chalip and biyad kohen, nothing to do with the gzeira of giza v'avoda. Chalip and biyad kohen in, and chalip and biyad kohen lo. So how do you think it has to do with giza v'avoda? Gemara says, Ma'u the same, what would you have thought from that, Braisa? Rabbi Yossi ledvarv to Rabbi Meir Kamarle. Rabbi Yossi was just responding to the world, to the understanding of Rabbi Meir. Lididi, says Rabbi Yossi, in my world, Rabbi Yossi says, at least this is all in the Havamina, I would think afilu ein chalip b'miyad kohen, even if the kohen received nothing, I would still think of ptur in matanos. Why? Because di mechayeves lei b'matanos, had I been mechayev matanos by the suffix b'chor, asi lei lidei gizav avoda. People would assume that this animal is chulin and treated the gizav avoda, which is raw. But so that's my opinion. But lididach, according to you, Rabbi Meir, O de lemia, even though you think chayev matanos, you should at least admit to me in this case, heicha de chalip and biyad kohen, when the kohen receives one of the animals, the asi she'enu zocha kizocha, chachamim would make the other animal as if the kohen already was merited in it and he gave it back. Amarlei, Rabbi Meir says, no, lo. I think across the board, no matter what, there's always a chayev matanos because the kohen could balav mishnei tzadam. Kamash Milan, we learn from all this that Rabbi Yossi says it's nothing to do with Giza Vavoda, it's all talio on Chalip and Biad Kohen or not Chalip and Biad Kohen. That's all the statement about admitting by a Suffolk Bechor case. Gemaris is a similar statement now by a Suffolk Meiser Behema case. Comes along, Amar Rav Papa, Hakol Moldim, everybody gives a Suffolk Meiser, that's Pater Minamatonis, the opposite extreme now. What's the case of Suffolk Bechor? So we're going to learn this in much greater detail in the last parak of the Masechta. But let's say when you're starting to count the animals of the coming out of the flock, coming out of the gate, you count one, two, three, and once you count one animal, you can't count it again. So you count five animals, let's say. And then one of the animals jump back into the pen, you have no idea which one you counted already, which one you didn't. So since you can't know, the whole flock is now completely exempt from Eisa Behema because you can't recount an animal that's already counted once before. So that becomes a Suffolk Behema. So Gemara says, what's the din of a Suffolk Behema? I'm sorry, this is the case. This is actually where the Maisa Behema, the 10th animal itself, the actual Maisa Behema that I called Asiri, that Maisa Behema was the one that jumped back into the pen, and therefore the whole pen now is confused with a Suffolk Maisa Behema. So in the case here, the Gemara says, in a Suffolk Behema, Suffolk Maisa rather, Shepater Minamatanos, Shepater Minamatanos. The Gemara explains why. What's Pshat here? So Hakol Modim, who's the one who agrees? Man, that's Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir said, in general, when there's a Suffolk Bechor, he felt that you're Chayv in Matanos. So he admits by a Suffolk Maisa Behema that you would be Pater. Gemara says, Pshita, of course. That's obvious, that's what Rabbi Meir would hold. Why? Because the whole svar of Rabbi Meir is, Ad kan lo makim chayiv Rabbi Meir hasam. The only reason Rabbi Meir is chayiv matanos by a suffix bechor is because, El b'suffix bechor, Because a kohen has, no matter how you slice it, whether you think it's a bechor or a chulin, the kohen always has a good taina on the matanos. If it's a bechor, he deserves everything. If it's only a chulin, he gets zerah l'chaim v'keva. So he has to bob mishnei tzadim. He certainly gets matanos. Because what's a tut stadim? If it's a regular chulin animal, okay, fine, the kohen gets the zerah l'chaim v'keva from a regular animal. But if the animal is taka ma'aser behema, so the ma'aser behema becomes a carbon and it goes kulo lebailim, and the kohen doesn't have shaychus to the matanos. And in the case of savik ma'aser behema, therefore, he doesn't have shneit stadim to make a claim, and therefore, obviously, Rabbi Meir would say, Pater minamatanos. So what's the chiddush? We don't need a papa to tell me this din that Rabbi Meir agrees that Safik Ma'aser Behema is pater minamatanos.
So Ma'aser Behema, the owner brings it, and yeah. The coin doesn't get anything.
Right. So then the Gemara says, Amal, the same, what would you think? Time of Rabbi Meir, the reason Rabbi Meir is lo tishtach tarach matanos. Maybe the reason was he didn't want people to forget the whole idea of matanos. It wasn't really based on any logic where it fits in and where it doesn't fit in. He just says you should always be mechayim matanos just so you shouldn't forget whenever there's a case of a suffix. And therefore, afilu suffix ma'aser nami, even though the kohen doesn't have a good taina by the suffix ma'aser behema, let him have the matanos anyways. Shelo tishkach toras matanos. Kamashmalan, Rapapa comes to tell me, no, it's not depending on lo tishkach. It's really dependent on whether he's b'mishteit stadim or ain't a b'mishteit stadim. So then the Gemara says, "Mi matzis amr tzachi." Could you really say this? Is that really such a havamin you could say? Katani sefer. The Brisa tells us clearly in the Brisa, "Shehaya Rabbi Yosi Omer Kol Shechalifa Biad Bikarim Pater Min Amatanos Rabbi Meir Mechayev." So we see, based on the logic that the Brisa is presenting to us, has nothing to do with Shelo Tishkach Min Amaiser. It all has to do with whether there's a taina by the kohen or not a taina by the kohen. So how could you say have a havamina that's all about Shelo Tishkach Toras Matanos? So Gemara says, Mal de Seima, no, how would you have interpreted the dinner of Meir and work it into the Brisa? And would it work as follows? Mal de Seima, Rabbi Meir, afilu Savik Maiser Mechayev. Rabbi Meir thinks, just like Savik Bechor is Chai Matanos, we would have thought Savik Maiser is also Chai Matanos. V'had de Mifki Bechalip. And so how come the Mishnah only presents it as a machlok is whether the Kohen has a bailus to it or not? Whether he received something or he didn't receive something. That was only to tell me, Lo Diacha Kocha de Rabbi Yossi, to show us how strong Rabbi Yossi Shita is. That he's pater, he's going to exempt the chimatanos afil heicha the kohen ba'al of mishet sadim. Even in a case where the kohen has this double taina, whether it's a chulin or a bechor, he always has a taina. Even there, Rabbi Yossi is going to say pater, and that's how we explain this. Kamash v'lan that no, Rabbi Meir tells us that he doesn't say that. Rabbi Meir does not say safik meiser is chayv matanos. He only says it by safik bechor is chayv matanos, but he does not say this by safik. Meiser, there he agrees it's pater minamatanos because he doesn't have lo ba'al of mishneit tzad. Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah further. Meis echa mehem Rabbi Mitarfon Omer Yachloku. If one of the animals die, so the second animal that's still alive, Rabbi Tarfon Paskin, you divide it up. Asks Gemara, Amai Yachloku, why do you divide it up? Nechse I shamin meis, see which animal died. If the fat animal died, the heavy animal died, well, according to Rabbi Tarfon Shita, he said that the Kohen's bor lo yafe. So that was the Kohen's animal that died, it was the heavier animal that died. The Kohen who? V'hai de'ika, the one that's still alive, is the Baal Bais. The Baal Bais gets to keep it. And I kachosh mace, if the weaker animal died, well, that was the Baal Bais mace. The Baal Bais' animal is the one that died. V'hai de'ika, that's one that's still alive, the fattier animal that's alive, that's the Kohen who. Why does he say Yachloku? So it says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Meir, Chazer bar Rabbi Tarfon retracted from what he said initially in the Reisha, and he doesn't think that you choose the Yafa. He thinks actually you do Yachloku in the Reisha as well. When there's a Safek, you divide the fattier animal, you divide the difference, and so too in the Seifa, you say Yachloku as well, and therefore it's consistent. What about Rabbi Kiva? The Gemara quotes. The Mishnah says Rabbi Kiva Omer Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya. Rabbi Kiva says the Baal Bais gets to keep the live animal until the Kohen can prove otherwise. So Amr Rabbi Chiya Mashal Rabbi Tarfon. What's a Mashal Rabbi Tarfon's understanding? Lama Davar Domer. What's it similar to? L'shnayim Shifkidu Eta Roa. Two people had given their sheep to a shepherd to watch, and one of them dies. What happened? Meniach Roa, the shepherd didn't want to get involved in the debate, so Beinayim, he left the live sheep alive, and Mistalikin just left. You guys figure this out. I don't want to get involved in this. He ran away. So that's the case here as well. We say Yachloku, you guys divide it. And Masha the Rabbi Kiva, Lama Davar Domer, Rabbi Kiva Shita, what is he compared to? Le'echad shehifkida eta ba'abayis. An individual have left his sheep by a ba'abayis, and then the ba'abayis had his own animal, and one of the animals died, and we weren't sure which animal died. So in this case, since it's all in the possession of the ba'abayis, we said the ba'abayis gets to keep the live animal, and amotzi mechaveir alav harayis. So this is the mashal for each one respectively. Gemara says, but aren't they arguing? Ela b'may pligu, what's machlokas? You're going to tell me that Rabbi Kiva would polyg b'shnaim shivgidu eitzah roeh, shemeniach roeh mesalik? Would Rabbi Kiva argue in that mashal that we said, if there was a case where there are two people who lent, who gave their sheep to the shepherd, one died and the shepherd left one for you guys to fight over, would Rabbi Kiva say, not yachlogu? Would he argue in that case? And so too, in the case of the mashal Rabbi Kiva, would Rabbi Tarfon argue in the same circumstance that the mashal gave Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Tarfon polyg b'echad shivgid eitzah ba'abayis? If there were to be a case where the ba'abayis was watching over his own sheep and someone else's sheep, and one died and he held on to the live one, would Rabbi Tarfon say, you wouldn't say motzi mechaveir alav harayah? So Gemara says, no. The both mashal that we said, those everyone agrees to. Amar Rav Avi, say Marav Papa, Akol Modim, everyone agrees, b'shnaim shivkidu eitzah roeh, and sheminiach roeh b'neim mesalik, and the roeh leaves a live animal for you guys to figure out. Everybody agrees, it's yachloku. And the case of Be'echad Shehifkid Eitzah Ba'abayis, then he gave his animal to the Ba'abayis, one dies. So the live animal the Ba'abayis holds on to, and we say, Amotzi Mechaveiro, I love her ayah. And also everybody agrees. Lo, so what's the machlokas then between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon? Lo nechleku ela b'chatzer Ba'abayis v'roa kohen. The debate is, if you have a courtyard that's owned by the Ba'abayis, and near the shepherd is a kohen. So now what happens? The Rabbi Tarfon, the Savar, Aknuye komakni le bechatzero. Rabbi Tarfon holds that the ba'abayis wants to be makna over the bechor to the kohen, give a bit of his property over to the kohen to be makna any bechor that's born that goes immediately to the kohen. So we'll look at Rashi in just a second. V'nichale, and the ba'abayis is very happy to do such a thing. The lisabed mitzvah b'mamona, to use his property, to use his chatzer in such a way to allow the kohen to raise his bechor in my property. That's a great zuchus. V'havale ends up being kishnaim shivgidu etzaroa, sheminiach roa b'neim v'mestalik. So it ends up being a situation where if I give my property over to the Ezra's the kohen, the roa. So I say, any bechor born to me, I want Ezra to have it. So I'm being makne a little piece of property in my chatzer. That's yours. And anytime the bechor is born, you get it right away. And then we're going to be sharing a property here together. So that's like shutvis, and we're sharing property. And one of the animals died. We weren't sure which animal dies. So that's a case of a suffix. Now, according to Rabbi Kiva, he says, no. Rabbi Kiva Savar, Kevin Dislay Pseida, since there's a possibility, if the animal dies and there's a suffix, whether the bechor died or another animal died, I'm a very nice guy, I wouldn't want to put myself in a position where I might lose something. So Rabbi Kiva felt a low mikne le midam, that a person, a ba'abayis, wouldn't be makne over a property to the kohen. And therefore, if the suffik b'chor dies in my property, the kohen had no bailis in my property, and therefore it's ke'echad shehifkid eitzel ba'abayis, it's as if a person gave me his thing to watch and it died. We have to say, the kohen, you have no ownership in my property. Shemotzi mechaveir alav harayah proved to me otherwise. In other words, what's coming out here is, when the ba'abayis is Yisrael and the kohen zeroah, would the ba'abayis makne over a piece of property or not? That's the question. Is there a certain assumption that he does makne over and there's shared property here? Or no, he wouldn't makne over and it's all my property or my chatzer and you have to bring hamotzi mechaveiro alav harayah. And that's how the Gemara explains machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon. I don't fully understand this because I would imagine if it's or a situation where the ba'abayis was taka makna over to the kohen, so everybody would agree that's shutfis. And if he wasn't makna over to the kohen, it wouldn't be shutfis. So I don't know where they're arguing about what a stam case is. Maybe that's the machlokas, but that's how the Gemara presents this. Okay. New Mishnah. The Mishnah says it's going to be somewhat repetitive. The Gemara then is going to explain how it differs from the previous Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us hashtei rechelav. The first Mishnah was talking about one rachel, one sheep that was shel bichru. Now we're talking about shnei rechelav, two rechelav shel bichru. The yald shnei zecharim, and they both give birth to two boys. Shneim lakoin. They both go to bechor because each mother was the firstborn. The child was the firstborn to its mother. Zachar Nekeva, let's say one gave birth to a boy, one gave birth to a girl, Hazachar LeKohen, then of course the male goes to the Kohen, and then Nekeva is kept, because there's no Bechor by the Nekeva. Let's say Shnei Zachar Nekeva Echa, let's say the two mothers, there were a total of two boys and one girl. Now you don't know if one mother gave birth to two boys, in which case there's only one Bechor, or maybe both mothers gave birth to two Bechors. Both mothers gave birth to a Bechor. So in this case we say, Shnei Zacharim, V'nekeva Echad, V'nekeva, Echad Lo, V'Echad LeKohen. So since one of them is Vade, one of them definitely had to have given birth to a Bechor first, a male first. So one Vade goes to the Kohen, and the other one you get to keep because the other one's the Suffolk. Rabbi Tarfon Omer HaKohen, which one does he choose? So the Tarfon Lashita, so Omer, according to his initial Shita before he did a Chazara, HaKohen Borelo Esayafa, he chooses the better animal. And Rabbi Kiva Omer Mishalim Benam, no, you get to keep it until you prove otherwise. Shneini, the second one, Yirat Shistaiva, the one that's kept, you let it graze until it gets about Mum, and it's Chai B'Matanos, Rabbi Meir Shita, and Rabbi Yossi says, Pater. Beis Echamem, one of them dies, Rabbi Tarfon Omer Yachloka, Rabbi Kiva Omer Hamotzi Mechavel of Haraya. So now, next situation. You have Shnei Nekevos V'Zachar. Let's say both mothers, Shelo Bichru, then there are a total of two girls and one boy. Now, it's a possibility that there's no Bechor here at all, because maybe both mothers gave birth to a girl first, and the male was the second of the twin. So, Shnei Zacharim V'Shnei Nekevos here as well. It's very possible that the Nekevos were the firstborn of each mother. So therefore, there's no Vadai LeKohen. So, Ein Kan LeKohen Klum. The Kohen doesn't get anything in this case.
I don't know if you actually some same over here.
No, no, we don't know. We don't know if the girl came first or not. By the first case, there was definitely a boy, and then there was a second one as well. So then, are you saying if it's in the cave? Oh, maybe your Biosi would this. You know, because I'm not sure. I hear. I'm not sure. So then the Gemara says, Achas Bichur, Achas Shelo Bichur. One of them, now you have two mothers. One mother already was Bichur already. This is already her second, third, or whatever animal being born to her. And the other mother is a first-time mother. So now, V'yaldu Shnei Zacharim, two are born. So one comes from a Shelo Bichur, that means it's a Bichur, and the other one comes from the Bichur, and it's not a Bichur. So here as well, very simple, Echad Lo, Echad LeKohen. So one's Vade Bichur, one goes to the Kohen, and one is Vade not a Bichur, and one remains to the Baal Bayis. So which goes to which? Rabbi Tarfon again, Omer HaKohen Bower Esayafe, Rabbi Kiva Omer Mishamnen Benem, Vashene Yariv Ad Shistaiv, V'chai B'Matanos, Rabbi Yossi Pater, Rabbi Yossi Omer, he says, Kol She Chalifa B'Yai Kohen, whenever the Kohen's getting something, so then his Pater, the remaining animal is Pater Min Matanos, while Rabbi Meir says, Mechayif. Let's say Meis Echamem, one of them dies, Rabbi Tarfon Omer Yachloku, Rabbi Kiva Omer Amotzi Mechavela Haraya, and let's say finally, Zachar Nekeva Ain Kan LeKohen Klum. In the case of two mothers, one mother's a first-time mother, one's already been a mother before, and the boy and girl are both born, so the Kohen has no taina because it's possible the boy was born to the mother that already had children beforehand, and the Nekeva was born to the first-time mother, in which case the Kohen has no taina at all. So this is, again, pretty much going through different applications of the Yesodos we discussed from the previous Mishnah. So Gemara says, Tzrichi, how come we have to teach this Mishnah again? We could have figured it all out on our own once we were given the principles from the previous Mishnah. So Gemara says, Tzrichi, we need to teach this Mishnah as well. Because the Ashmi Inan, how we taught the Kamaisa of the first case in the Mishnah of yesterday's Daf, Bahi Kama Rabbi Kiva, the Tremechan. There Rabbi Kiva says, since two came from one, that was a case of one mother, so two came from one mother, that's where he would say what he would say. Rashi says, Mishum de Tre Mechada. Rashi explains, Rachel Nafik, it came from one mother. There's a suffix. We don't know which one came out first, so that's where he says, Amotzi Mechavel of Haraya. Aval Rechela, back to the Gemara now, but you have two Rechelim, Shelo Bichru, the Tre Mechad, Vechad Mechad, two comes from one. It was a case of three animals were born, right? Two men, two boys, and one girl. So you have two came from one animal, Vechad Mechad, one came from the other animal. Maybe you should say, Ema modi leli Rabbi Tarfon. He should agree to a Tarfon that the Kohen gets the better animal. Why? The one that was born on its own should be stronger. We know oftentimes when twins are born, the twins are usually smaller than the a single baby. Because whatever the reason is, either they're sharing nourishment from the mother, they're competing with each other, whatever that case might be. But when a person, anything is born by itself, it's usually a stronger baby, stronger animal. So since it's a case of two, by the case of Rabbi Kiva, the first case where one mother had twins, so we assume that it's very possible they're both very weak. But when you have two goes to one animal and one to another animal, so the one animal should be bigger than the other two animals, and therefore you should agree to a retirement that the coin should be borer lo yafa. So therefore, if they teach a Mishnah, even in the case where one animal may have came from one mother, still he holds that the Baal Bayis gets to keep the stronger animal, and it's a motzi mechaver alav haraya. Now, I ashminin ha. Have we had this Mishnah alone, the second Mishnah, b'ha kamar Rabbi Kiva de tavayu lo bichru. So here is where he says it's a case where both of them didn't give birth yet. This is the first time mothers. That's where he says, ha-motzi mechaver alav haraya. Aval, in a case, the safe of this mission now, which is achas bicher, achas shelo bicher. One mother is a first-time mother. One mother is already an old-time mother. The yal d'shnei zechar, both of them give birth. Eim modi leli Rabbi Tarfon. Maybe he should agree to Rabbi Tarfon that the Kohen should choose a better one. The hadulo bicher, the one that never gave birth before, is going to give shvach tzvei tzricha. The first-time mother gives a gezunta baby. The older mother gives birth to animals. Those are weaker. But the first-time mother is going to be a gezunta baby. So maybe here Rabbi Kiva would assume that he should choose the borer lo yafa. Kamashmalam, from this Mishnah, even in this case, he agrees that the stronger animal goes to the Baal Bayis, and it's a mosi mechaveira lavaraya for the Kohen to prove otherwise. Okay. Well.